So, good evening. It's time to begin with our youth-led devotional. Ellis Beckman's going to lead a song. Then Trent Woodfin is going to lead a song, and then Mac Weatherford is going to read scripture.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are with him. He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I'll be singing Kumbaya 986, all three verses. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, oh Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, Kumbaya. Oh, Lord, Kumbaya. Come by here, my Lord, come by here, come by here, my Lord, come by here, come by here, my Lord, come by here, oh Lord, Kumbaya.
I'll be reading Luke chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. And when he had called the people unto him, and his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sakes and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Good afternoon and welcome to Florence Boulevard. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you with us, and we ask that you come back and be with us at any time and hang around after the service and let us get to know you a little bit. We need to continue to pray for those that are sick and grieving and are shut in. I have the arrangements for our brother Gene Gooch's funeral tomorrow, Tuesday. The funeral will be held here at Florence Boulevard. Visitation will be from 12:30 to 2, with the funeral being at 2, and the burial will be in the Memorial Gardens immediately following the funeral. Vacation Bible School will be June the 20th through the 23rd. If you can help with this, please sign the sheet on the table in the foyer. Also, if you would like to purchase a T-shirt, sign the sheet on the table in the foyer. The T-shirts have the sizes at the top, and the cost will be somewhere between $7 and $12. Kids that attend VBS will get a free T-shirt. We have another announcement.
Just a quick financial matter. I wanted to make everyone aware that as of the end of May, we're going to be discontinuing our envelope system for tracking contributions. This decision was made primarily as a result of technological advances that have made it a little bit easier to track your own personal finances. However, at the end of the month, we will be providing a year-to-date accounting of you know, what you've given so far before we discontinue that. And of course, don't hesitate to reach out to Greg Allen or me with any questions about that. We're going to continue this announcement for a couple of more services as more people, so that more people can become aware of it. But like I said, don't hesitate to let us know if you have any questions about that. Thanks.
Number 560 will be our first song, 560. Would you stand, please, as we sing?
I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting God, being in His great love. From our faith in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting and finding in His great love. From all our faith in His sheltering arm, I'm living by faith.
We're 453. 453.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the abyssal shore. Very deeply sank within, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifting me, now say, have I love lifting me, love lifting me. When nothing else could help, love lifting me, love lifting me, love lifting me.
Song before prayer, number 768. 768.
Jesus, let us come to know You. Let us see You face to face. Such us, hold us, use us, hold us.
bow as we address our Heavenly Father. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we know that you are all and you are in all. And we're grateful for every opportunity that we have to worship you, to praise and to honor you. We're thankful very much and very grateful for your care for us and for a return for this place of assembly that we might worship here. The experience of this COVID plague has given us a greater awareness of the devil's efforts to destroy our faith. But it also gave us a renewed desire to cast our cares upon you and to see your promises fulfilled, that you would care for us. Please keep us in the hollow of your hand through all the trials now and those to come. We're also very thankful that we have known your servant, Gene Gooch. We have seen the faithfulness of Jewel and Gene and the many trials they have passed through over the past maybe 7 years. And they have given us an example of how to live and how to die. Many of us have had experience in recent diseases that give us the thought of dying. And some have seen friends and relatives leave this world because of these diseases. And we know that living is terminal, and that we all will die. And death is not our problem, but where we're going after we die is our problem and should be our major concern. So we ask, Father, that seeing all this death and destruction around us, that it would increase our zeal to bring the gospel not only to the 21 mission efforts that we have in this congregation that we support, but also to motivate to bring the gospel message to our own neighbors and communities. And I'm grateful to see the pile of door tags that was there last week is now minimal. And we pray that someone will take those and bring them and put them on the doors where we can communicate the gospel directly when we cannot come and talk to them directly. But we know that there are many of us who will be passing through trials of despair or disease or loneliness and financial concerns. And so we ask your blessing. And we have many on our sick list and family and friends and those who are in need of your care. We know Lane Baker and Marjorie Cox, who has lost her husband and is not well. We pray for Rhoda Gist, especially with the radiation treatments, cancer, and we pray, Father, that you will direct those treatments directly to her healing. For Mary Garrett and Eleanor Martin, also for Larry Martin, and we're thankful to see Leo and Hazel here today, back in the ability to come to worship with us. For Helen Parker and Larry Phillips is still a mystery. We'd like to know what can be done for him. And we know that you know his problem and where the doctors do not. And we pray that you will heal him as well. For Paul and Drusilla Richardson and Shelby Trousdale, who was here this morning. And we're thankful, Father, for her progress. We pray also that you will continue to bless our leadership in this congregation, especially in the selection of a minister for our youth. And we would ask for your guidance. Accept our thanks for everyday blessings that you provide us with. And we ask for your continued care and forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' precious name. And amen.
Number 509 will be our next song. We'll sing this before Brother Jake comes and delivers our message. 509. Ask that you stand as we sing and remain standing for a reading from God's Word.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
reading this evening will come from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. You may be seated.
Good evening, church. For those of us who have ever prepared a lesson from God's Word, whether it be a sermon or just a Bible class, there's typically a process that we go through, and it can differ from person to person. For me, you know, when I am asked to teach or to preach, I typically don't actually put anything on paper until probably just a few days before I actually get up to teach or to preach. I usually just kind of let my thoughts, just wander as the weeks and days pass, as the time gets closer, and just try to find inspiration in the world around me. And when it comes close to time to preach, that's when I actually put everything on paper and get everything ready to go. But sometimes when I'm going through this process of trying to come up with something to speak about, I may have something completely finished and ready to go, as I had tonight, and then something happens. Maybe it was something you saw, maybe it was another lesson you had heard, and it almost just shakes you to your core, where do you feel like you can't even properly deliver what you wanted to preach about because something else has shaken you so much. And I guess you could say that's kind of what happened to me tonight. I initially had planned on speaking on church unity, on how, you know, first and foremost, the things that God has clearly laid out in the Bible as right should be the glue that holds Christians together, not only in this congregation, but at Christians across the world. And that the things that are more of opinion, such as, you know, what the auditorium looks like or what van we're going to buy for the youth, these opinion type things, those should be things that should never cause a division in the church. And that was kind of the route I was going to go. But yesterday I had the privilege to go to Freed Hardeman's campus and for their commencement ceremony. And I know there are a few of you here that was there also. Got a couple graduates here tonight. But there was a speaker that spoke at their commencement ceremony yesterday, and the words that he spoke, it really just cut me to the heart, and it really made me think, and it was just one of the things where I couldn't shake it. And so tonight, I wish I could tell you that the words that I'm going to share with you tonight are my own. They are words that were spoken by John D. Berry yesterday at the graduation ceremony, but I wanted to share these words with you tonight, and hopefully, you know, through God's Word, they will impact your life. And for those of you who've already heard it, maybe it will impact your life even deeper having heard it twice. Around 100 years ago or so, there was a man, an author, by the name of C.S. Lewis. That's a name that many of us probably know. He's one of the more famous American authors in recent modern history. And he wrote a book that many of us, if not all of us, have at least seen the movies of, a book by the name of Alice in Wonderland. And if you know the story at all, basically Alice, you know, she finds this portal to this. You know, this crazy world called Wonderland. It's separate from Earth. It's different. It's somewhere she's never been before. You know, talking animals, the whole nine yards. But when she finds herself in Wonderland for the first time, she finds herself in this dense forest with woods surrounding her, and all she really sees is just different paths going off in different directions. And as she's standing there wondering, first off, where is she? She's never been to this place before, but now she's got to think to herself, where does she go? And so when we find her in this situation, a cat comes out of a tree. And of course, this is a children's book, and so of course the cat talks. But when Alice sees the cat, Alice asks the cat, "Cat, which path should I take? Which of these many paths set before me should I go on?" To which the cat asked Alice, "Well, Alice, where do you want to go?" And Alice didn't know. She'd never been there. She had no idea where she wanted to go. She just felt like she needed to go somewhere. And I want us to listen to how the cat replied to Alice in this moment. It said, "It doesn't really matter, does it? If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a goal, it doesn't really matter what path you take. It doesn't really matter, does it? If you don't know where you're going, any road will do." You see, tonight, all of us are on a path. We're all on a path. And what we need to think about and what we need to understand about our own lives is what path that is. Is it the path that, you know, maybe it's a path towards a successful career. Maybe it's a path toward, you know, having a great social life. Hopefully it's a path that leads to salvation through Christ. But tonight, I want us to think about the path that we're on. And if we're not on that path, what we can do to get on the correct path and potentially avoid any pitfalls that the world may throw at us. A couple of years ago, I've only been on an airplane one time. And this was a couple of years ago, and I got on a flight from Atlanta, Georgia to Houston, Texas. And so if you've never had that flight before, you can look at a map to see the exact same thing I saw. But when I went up and flew from Atlanta, Georgia to Houston, Texas, if you look out your window, you see this huge body of water. Now, if you think about it, you know, I'm sitting in the right, so I'm looking out the right window. So I'm not looking at the Gulf of Mexico, okay? This is a body of water that is inland, okay? This body of water is the Mississippi River. And you can see the design of the Mississippi River if you look at a map. And it's very clear to see the Mississippi River is not a straight line, right? This huge body of water, it circles and it twists and it winds down through the land. Definitely not a straight line, right? Did you know that water will always take the path of least resistance? Oftentimes we can kind of predict where water will flow in a big rain or something like that. Even if you just, you know, filled up a cup of water and you poured it somewhere, you can almost kind of guess where that water is going to flow because we know that water travels the path of least resistance. And a lot of the time, whatever, you know, environment that water is put into, that environment will dictate what path the water will flow, right? And so tonight as we think about the path that we're on, the trail that we're walking down, there are going to be people in this world that are going to want our path to look like the Mississippi River, a curving, winding path. They're going to want our lives to be the path of least resistance. They're not going to want us to stand for what we believe in. They're not going to want to see us sacrifice our lives to God, our possessions to God. And at first, when you think about that, why would someone outside of the body of Christ care what we did? And we'll get into that in a moment, but it took me a while to answer that question for myself. Why would someone outside of the body of Christ be out to get me, if you will, or try to alter my path or try to change the path that I'm on from the path of righteousness to the path of the world, that path of least resistance? But as we're walking this path, Romans chapter 12 comes to mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I want to focus on that first part there. Do not be conformed to this world. Now, thinking back to that great Mississippi River, it's pretty easy to tell that river has conformed itself to the world. That body of water did not dictate its own path. The world, the earth, gave it a path, and that's the path it took, right? It didn't creatively just map out its own path. And there's people of the world who would want us to be just like that. That they're going to present us a path, almost a way out, an easier way to go. And they're going to want us to take it. But here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul states that that's not what Christ wants for our life. He doesn't want us to take that path of least resistance. He doesn't want us to walk that path where we're conformed to the standards of the world. We're called to be better than that. We're not called to make our own path. We're called to walk the path that God has already set out for us, that path of righteousness. And skipping back to verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Part of not taking the road of least resistance, part of taking the harder path, is sacrificing your life to God. That's step number one. Once you believe in God, once you believe that Christ died, and you truly believe that He is the only way in which you can be given salvation, then at that point you've got to sacrifice yourself. You've got to sacrifice everything to that. Because didn't Christ do the same for us? In life, Christ lived the perfect life. He lived without sin. He lived His entire life in sacrifice to God. And the difference between us and Him is we have sin, and He knew that He would die. He knew that He would have to go to the cross, and He did it anyway. And so both in life and in death, Christ sacrificed everything, not for Himself, but for God, and essentially for you and me. And so God is calling us to do the same thing. I mentioned earlier that there will be people that are going to try to bring our attention down to the things of the earth. I want us to flip over to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 2. This is a verse that many of us could probably just quote, but it says this. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Set your minds on the things that are above. When I was trying to come up with an illustration, you know, to think about this, I thought about, you know, if I just took off in a straight line and I was looking down at the ground at my surroundings, I could very well maneuver myself around some obstacles. I could walk through the pews in and out, and I could do pretty good at not running into anything, right? Because my eyes are here on the ground. And that would be a pretty easy path to walk, right? I mean, to get in here, every one of us are sitting in a pew, so you had to navigate and look at your surroundings to get inside of a pew, right? Now what if you look straight up at the ceiling and you try to find your pew? Well, now it's a little harder, right? That may sound like a silly example, but when we're looking to God, life on earth gets harder. It gets a lot harder to find our way because now all of a sudden, instead of looking at the world and going with the flow and going with the path of least resistance, now we're starting to run into problems because we're not necessarily concerned about the things that are around us. We're concerned about things that are above us. We're concerned about godly things. We're concerned about our soul, the souls of men and women around us. That's what we're now concerned about. And so now as we are focused on salvation and holiness and godliness, now all of a sudden it seems like we run into a lot more trouble. And why do you think that is? Because there is a being, there are people that are in this world, that are of this world, that want us to be just like them. I think of it this way. Why would somebody want to steer a Christian off the Christian path? Another verse comes to mind in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. And it's the blind leading the blind. You know, if a blind person leads a blind person, they'll both fall into a pit, right? And so what is this blind person? Well, really, you know, here in this context, a blind person is just someone who doesn't know God's word. There's somebody who doesn't know the will of God. There's someone who doesn't truly understand what it means to be right and to be wrong. For someone who just doesn't know, they don't have that wisdom in them. And because they don't have that godly wisdom to lead them, they are blind. And so why would this blind person, this person without the wisdom of God, why would they want to steer us off our path? If they don't have the wisdom of God, they're already on that path of least resistance. That's the path they've already chosen for their self. And so all of a sudden they're walking their path, and all of a sudden they run into a Christian who's kind of going against the grain a little bit, right? Hopefully. Hopefully as Christians we're standing up for what we believe in, and when we see sin in the world and evil in the world, we stand up and we show the light of Christ. But when these people are walking that path, all of a sudden they run into a Christian. Now all of a sudden their path gets a little harder because now, you know, we've almost gotten in their way. And so instead of, you know, taking us on, they want to sway us to join them, and now their path becomes easier. And so there are definitely going to be people in this world who want to take us off the path. But one of the most important things that we can do as Christians is to constantly check ourselves, look at ourselves, examine ourselves. First, look retrospectively. Look back at our lives. Look at the people who have made sacrifices so that we can be where we're at today. And I'm talking spiritually. Maybe it's your parents when you were young, and you know, whether or not you wanted to, they made you get up and they made you go to church because they loved you and they knew God loved you and they knew that that was where you needed to be. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was a friend that when you did not know Christ, you did not know God, maybe it was a friend who invited you to church. Maybe it was a youth minister. Maybe it was an elder. We know it was Christ. But look back at those people. And look back at what they stood for and what they would have wanted you for your life. And now, once you look back, look in at yourself. Look at where you're at now. Are you on the path that they would have you to be on? Are you on the path that Christ has set you to be on? I thought John D. Berry, he had a fun little quote that I never heard before when he brought this up. He said, "You need to do a checkup from the neck up." I thought that was good. Checkup from the neck up. Really think about where you're at, not physically in life. Again, as Christians, we're not called to be of the world. We're just called to be in the world. Our sight is on God. Yes, we have things that we have to do in this life, but our real concern is not of the worldly path we're on. It's the path that Christ has laid out for us. And so are you on course? Are you on the path that God would have you to be on? Do you know what that path is? Maybe there's someone listening here or online that's thinking, you know, I don't know what God's path is for me. It's very possible that there's someone who is in that situation. Fortunately, there are people here and all across this, you know, this area and this world who are Christians, who are believers, and we would love nothing more than to help you figure out the righteous path to walk, to learn about Jesus, to learn about salvation and how there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, but yet we give ourselves over to God. We sacrifice ourselves to God so that Christ can take away our sin. We would love to have that conversation with you and help you in that. But maybe you know the path and you're just not walking the path. You can have been baptized before and have become a Christian and still stray from the path. Just because you were baptized doesn't mean that you are exempt from falling away from the Lord. Think about where you're at. And think about what it is that you need to make sure that you are on the path. And if you're on the path, and if you look at yourself and you say, you know, I've got a long way to go, but I feel like I'm really doing the best I can. And I'm walking that path the best I know how. It's at that point where we don't stop on the path, right? We keep going. And I would challenge you to figure out what are the things that would cause you to stumble on the path. And let's think about those, and let's think about how we can prepare ourselves for when those situations come up. As Christians, it's not enough just to say that, you know, I'm good where I'm at. It's not enough. As Christians, we've got to constantly be looking at how can we improve ourselves. If we're not where we need to be, how can we get there? How can we keep going if we're already where we need to be? It's not enough just to be complacent. We've got to check ourselves. I mentioned earlier that there are people who are going to try to get us to go off of our Christian path, that path of righteousness, that straight and narrow. Nowadays, with all these different news and media outlets and all these voices that are coming through our TVs and our phones, there are a lot of people, and I would say the majority of people, at least in this nation, that would have us think that we're going to be on the wrong side of history, Christians. I've heard statements that, you know, Christians, they just can't go along to get along. Us Christians, we just can't get along with people nowadays, you know. That we're the problem in the world, and that the world is right and that we're wrong. I'm sure we know people like that. I know we've heard people, you know, at least through TV, phone, radio, we've heard people talk like this. It's becoming more and more common. But I want to throw out a few qualities. And let's just let our minds think on these qualities and see if we have any of these. Fear. Doubt, indifference, arrogance, disobedience. Think about these. Do you have any of these in your life? Are you afraid to stand up for God? Are you afraid to go and talk to that person about the Word? Do you doubt God? Do you doubt the Word? Do you doubt that God is real and that Christ died and that he truly did die for your sins? Or do you just not care? Are you indifferent about it? Are you arrogant? Do you think that you're too good? Or do you know and you're just disobedient to the will of God? Again, just that process of checking ourselves. I'll tell you, if you looked at your life tonight and you have any of these qualities, we've got to get rid of those. We have got to get those qualities out of us. We can't go into the world being afraid or being doubtful or just not caring or being disobedient. We can't go into the world like this because the world is hard enough as it is. And the world around us can see those qualities in us. It's almost like when a shark smells blood, you know. The world's the same way. The world can see these qualities in us. And when they see these qualities in us, that's when they know that, hey, we can get them off the path that they're on. We can get one more for our side, right? It kind of sounds like, you know, as I'm just going through this, it sounds like it's almost... prepping us to go to war, almost, you know, prepping us to go to battle. And in a way that I am, because we see in scriptures multiple times that God refers to, you know, this walk of righteousness as, you know, spiritual warfare. He uses language like put on the whole armor of God. We even have, you know, quotes like, I fought the good fight. And so in a way, this is a fight that we walk into every day. It is. This Christian walk, it's not supposed to be easy. Again, it's not the path of least resistance. It's not bowing down and let the enemy overcome. Being a Christian means standing up. And come what may, we still walk that path. In high school, I took a geometry class. And my geometry teacher told me something very basic. Probably one of the most basic geometry lessons I ever heard. And she said, if you have 2 points, and the 2 points can be anywhere on this piece of paper, the quickest way to get from one point to the other point is what? Just straight line, right? Straight line. That's very simple and basic and very easy for us to understand. But did you know that the Bible talks about that straight line? That the quickest point, the quickest way between 2 points is a straight line. The Bible talks about it. it was read for us earlier in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. We're laid out two paths before us. We have that narrow, straight, difficult road that at first does not look appealing at all. If we're standing here looking at the path, not knowing what's at the end, that path doesn't look appealing. But fortunately, through God's divine wisdom and love for us, He gave us what's at the end of that path. We know what it is: salvation, heaven, living with God for eternity. So we have that path. And then on the other hand, we have that broad, wide, winding path, the easy path, that path of least resistance. And again, initially, it looks good, because there's room. If we run into any trouble in this path, there's room for us to maneuver around it. But we know where that path leads. It's a path of destruction. And so tonight, let's just think about what path we're on. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 asks us the question, what does it profit? What would it profit us to go down that wide path, that broad road? Sure, we would probably gain a lot of material things walking down that road. We would. But what would it profit us? What's the cost of your sellout? What would it take? What could the world give you that would make you give up your morality, your spirituality, your godliness? What could the world give you? They'll offer a lot. The world will. The world will give you a lot to get you off the path that you're on. Could it be power? Prosperity? Position? Popularity? What would it take? The world is willing to give up all of those things just to get us off the path. They're willing to give it to you. And initially it'll look good, because it's in our human nature, just, you know, if we're given things, if we have opportunities to get more stuff, that's usually the path we go. Human nature. That's why being a Christian is hard sometimes, because we have to fight our own nature, our own sinful nature. But tonight I just want to encourage us just to live your faith. Live your faith in God. It's not enough to just come here to church and believe that Christ died so we can be saved of our sins. It's not enough just to believe that. We've got to live it. We've got to be willing to walk out of these doors tonight and to go into our schools, our workplaces, our friend groups. We've got to be willing to make that stand. A quote that John D. Berry ended with yesterday, I thought was the perfect way to end this topic. And it's something that I've actually wrote down in my Bible, and I hope that I don't forget it, because it's one of those that you could use a lot. He said this: when you come into the world, you resemble your parents, right? It's funny. Meredith, she's got a 10-month-old niece, and I remember when she was born, all of her family was talking about, oh, who did the baby look like? Oh, it looks like the dad. Oh, it looks like the mom. It looks like the aunt over here. It looks like that third cousin twice removed. I mean, it's just everybody wants the baby to look like them. But babies, we know, resemble their parents, right? When they come into the world, we resemble our parents. But when we leave this world, no matter at what point we leave this world, whether it's death, Jesus coming back, when we leave this world, we resemble our choices and the decisions that we've made. And those decisions that we've made, that path that we've chosen to walk, will dictate our eternity. And so tonight, as you think about the path that you're walking and the path that you're standing on? Where do you stand? Are you on the path of righteousness? Are you standing with God? Are you standing for God? Are you standing against the world? The Christian walk isn't meant to be easy. It's not. This Christian walk is not always pretty, but it is always godly. Are you living, are you walking that godly walk tonight? If not, there is no better time than right here tonight to make that change. Because as we know and we read in the Bible, this life is like a vapor. It's here for 1 second, then you blink and it could be gone the next. None of us know when Jesus will return. None of us knows what tomorrow will hold. Nobody knows what the rest of the night holds. Are you where you need to be? And if you're not, let us help you. Let us pray for you. If you just don't know where you stand and you don't know what God has, what God desires for you in your life, let us study with you. There's plenty of us here that would love to just take time out of our day and study with you. Make the change. Make the decision to walk the path of righteousness tonight. If you want to make that change, if you need to make that change, won't you please come while we stand and while we sing.
Jesus say, come unto me.
For being here this evening. If you're here tonight and have not had the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper, it has been left prepared in the classroom in the back. If you'll go there now, you'll be served. Do remember our class is Wednesday night at 6:30. Hope you'll be back on Wednesday. Have a good week. We'll have a verse of a song, then we'll be dismissed in a closing prayer.
When peace like a river attendeth my way,
Bowser. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with. And thank you for letting us come to your church tonight again, Lord. And hopefully we'll take a lesson from Jake's word and apply it to our everyday walks of life, Lord. And help the men and women that are fighting overseas at this time and help them to get back to their families as quickly and as safe as possible, Lord. Help the men and women that are in the hospitals at this time and help the ones that have lost loved ones recently. Help them to get past that, Lord, and to let you, O Lord, and forgive us all of our sins. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.